According to polls, a whopping 78% of Americans believe in angels. 95% of us believe in God. Now, a startling new book makes the claim that faith and belief are hardwired into our DNA. Dean Hamer is one of the country's leading geneticists. By day, he runs a lab at the National Cancer Institute. By night, he's been investigating the link between science and spirituality. Now, it's been known for several years that there's a genetic component to spirituality, but Hamer has carried this a bit further and found one specific gene that seems to be involved in this trait. He calls it the God gene, and that's also the title of his new book. Steve Paulson asked him what this God gene does.
That gene handles a type of brain chemical that are called monoamines, and these are brain chemicals that are very much involved in the way we feel the universe around us. They're involved in our sense of consciousness. And we think that it's really changes in consciousness that are at the very heart and core of spirituality. So when you look at the spiritual experiences, for example, of Jesus in the desert or of Muhammad in his dreams, they always involve changes in consciousness, a sort of different perception of the universe. And these brain chemicals are involved in exactly that.
Now, when you say there's a gene that triggers this change in consciousness, what does that mean?
Well, it simply means that this is one of many different genes that are involved in the metabolism or the handling in the brain of these chemicals that ultimately lead to changes in the sense of consciousness. So it's not like there's a gene for God. Rather, there's a gene that influences the chemistry of the brain, which in turn influences our feelings of spirituality. Everybody has this gene. It's not something that's unique to some people and not found in others, but different people have slightly different versions of the gene so that some people may naturally be more spiritual than are others.
Oh, it's fascinating. So you're saying that if we have an extra dose of the gene, I guess, that we're more likely to believe in spiritual matters or have spiritual experiences?
I think it's more a matter of people being more easily channeled into spiritual experiences. But that's not to say that everybody can't have such experiences. In fact, there actually have been studies that have shown that this sort of sense of spirituality and self-transcendence can be practiced. For example, when people meditate for a year or two, they develop higher levels of self-transcendence. So it may be a little bit easier for some people, but everybody can do it. Everybody can have those feelings.
And you're not talking about religion here. I mean, this really has nothing to do with whether we're brought up in a church or not.
Absolutely. One of the most important distinctions, I believe, is between the feelings of spirituality and actual religiousness, that is, being a good Christian or a good Jew or a good Muslim. And in fact, the psychologist Abraham Maslow, who developed the whole idea of this spiritual scale a half a decade ago, was himself a very devout atheist. His father had been a rabbi. He was very much against the church, against organized Judaism. And one of his proudest accomplishments was that when he gave his little spirituality test to various people, he claimed that the people that scored the lowest were a priest and rabbis and ministers. So that certainly is a distinction between being religious and being spiritual.
What about angels? Do you think there's a genetic predisposition to believe in angels?
I think that there probably is, especially given that all different religions believe in angels. They may call them different things, like Buddhist Vadas, and they certainly have been around ever since at least we've had written down religion. My own guess is that it's really a confluence of two different influences. One is this genetic predisposition towards spirituality, which includes believing that not everything is as it appears, that there's some things that can't be scientifically explained. And a second influence, which is the very strong tendency of human beings to anthropomorphize, that is to find something human-like in everything that we see in the universe. And I think you put those two factors together and angels are a very logical consequence.
And when people talk about angels, they usually talk about this kindly presence. I mean, that the sense that these angels are looking out for us. They are our guardians.
Absolutely. And of course, everybody wants to be looked out for. Everybody wants to make a connection. I think the anthropomorphization part of it comes from the fact that in the long run for humans, it is better to put a human or at least an animal face on something than to make the mistake in the opposite direction. For example, if you're walking around in the forest and you see something and you think it might be a bear, it's better to mistake a big boulder for a bear than it is the vice versa, because in the first case, you'll protect yourself even though you don't need to, but in the second place, you'll get eaten up by the bear. So when good things happen to people, we often like to put a human face on it, even if it seems to defy logic right at the time.
Now, you can certainly understand the psychology of this. It's comforting to think or to believe that there are these angelic presences out there, but scientifically, where might this genetic predisposition come into play?
Our guess is that the genetic predisposition actually helps people in many ways, including by improving their health. And this would include psychological health, that sort of sense of optimism that you need. I mean, after all, we all know that eventually we're going to wither up and die. It's kind of a depressing forward life for us. And so the idea that there's some sort of afterlife out there, that there are angels helping us, that there are good things to come, is something that I think is good for humans psychologically. There's also now a lot of evidence that faith and believing actually is good for people's physical health, and that belief, whether it's in religion or God or perhaps even in angels, that sort of belief actually prolongs people's lives. It helps them to get over diseases more quickly and has real direct benefits on physical health. So that, of course, would be a very direct selective advantage for this type of belief.
You're basically saying that if you believe in bigger things, chances are you'll be better off as a person?
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it was quite interesting. When I started working on this book 5 or 6 years ago, I was sort of a typical scientist. That is essentially an atheist. I didn't really believe in any of this stuff. It couldn't be proven to me. It seemed kind of ridiculous to me in some senses. But as I worked on the book, I took it upon myself to do some religious experimentation and to attend various types of religious services and get involved in various types of religious practices. And I found that when I got involved in Buddhism in particular, in Zen, and started meditating a little bit, that it was really quite miraculous, I have to say. You know, that it's actually possible to change your sense of consciousness and your connection to things by just sitting on the floor and not thinking, essentially. So I guess I had a bit of my own conversion experience in the course of working on this interesting topic.
Do you believe in God?
I'm a big believer in the power of belief. I've seen it work real wonders in my own life. I've seen it work wonders in other people's life. You know, to me, the most interesting thing about being alive is that we just sort of go through our lives and we see the world around us and we just assume that's the way the world is, the way we're seeing it. But it doesn't take much more than a little bit of meditation, or for some people, a spiritual experience, or for some people, suddenly being confronted by an angel, to realize that things aren't always exactly as they seem, and that we may be living our whole life in one particular way when things really are actually different than that. And that's a very profound sort of revelation. I think that's really at the heart of the power and the appeal of spirituality to humans throughout the times and throughout the universe.
Dean Hamer is one of the country's most prominent geneticists. He runs a laboratory at the National Cancer Institute. He spoke with Steve Paulson about his recent book, The God Gene.